Good morning, everyone. This is Linda Santavica on Pressing Beyond. When pursuing our purpose, some of us envision large rather than small, and thus start out with grandiose plans. We think global rather than local. Yet some of us pursue our calling within a small radius, which often evolves into something we never dreamed of. Our purpose grows beyond our imagination. When we speak with Thomas Barry, one of the co-founders of the creative agency Small Media Large, we will hear how a small idea grew large from very humble beginnings. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm so great you're here. First, I want to talk about just the name of your agency, Small Media Large. Be very interested in hearing how you came up with this name and what your agency does.
Okay, sure. Yeah. So my brother and I have always, well, my brother's been really good at puns for basically our whole life. I have to say that this was the first time that I think I one-upped him, because we were going back and forth when we were kind of brainstorming for names. We had already actually started doing work as freelancers, and we started to do work under brand. We were brainstorming for names, and we were just sitting in the basement throwing these names back and forth. And at some point I went Small Media Large. And then he was like, yeah, I think that will work. We basically just decided to go with it. We found out later, actually Graham, the third owner, he discovered that media is actually the plural of medium. Little extra play on words that we didn't even intend.
Yeah. Very cool. So Small Media Large has produced some amazing works. What are some of the projects that the agency does?
Yes. So Small Media Large is a creative agency. So we handle generally communications. We do we think of it as problem solving for companies and for organizations. They want to communicate a message, whether it's to possible customers or to a board, if they have a board of directors that needs information, or if they even need to do training within their organization, we'll produce content that meets those communications goals. Sometimes that means podcasts. We work on a number of podcasts for people. Sometimes that means writing press releases. Sometimes it means creating video content and creating marketing campaigns. It's really all over the place. So it's definitely it's a broad sort of work that we do. We work with everything from local churches to last summer, we had a project for about a week with the US Air Force. So we were creating basically a training series for a group within the Air Force. So it really ranges all over the place.
And I know you've traveled internationally to places like Iraq. You went with some ministries overseas. And when did you first start the agency?
My brother Dan and I started it in November of 2015. And then we were working pretty hard with it for a few years. And then our friend Graham was starting a creative agency out on the West Coast in Idaho. And he basically approached us and said, hey, I'm having trouble coming up with a name as good as Small Media Large. And so he was like, is it possible that we could, basically that I could join? And we were like, yeah, absolutely. And then over the next couple of years, we've reformed the organization. So it's now, it has three owners, which is a little unusual. It's been working well for us. So Dan, myself, and Graham are all equal owners of Small Media Large.
That's great. And you have a team that works together. You can move mountains. But it took time to get to where you are. Like, what was your space?
Okay, yeah. So Dan, my brother, and I always had this, we sort of had the fantasy of starting a business in a garage, because we noticed that a lot of amazing companies started in garages. You know, you think Google, Facebook, basically any, you know, Amazon. Yeah, pretty much any like Silicon Valley company, and the stereotype is that they started in a garage. We were both living at home actually at the time at our parents' house, and the garage was so full of workshop stuff and junk that we decided to settle for the second best, which was starting the company in our basement. That's where we started to get our first large clients. Me and Dan found it kind of funny, because it's like we would go on these projects out of town. We'd have a crew that we hired of freelancers, and then we would end up coming back to our parents' basement to do the editing. The clients usually had no idea that that was where the editing was happening, but the result is really all that mattered.
Now, you're pretty much an established agency, and I remember you were telling me how Small Media Large got recognized.
Yeah. So the first big client, big project that we had was for a organization called Appalachia Service Project. And they are basically like Habitat for Humanity, but they're very focused in what they do, which is the Appalachian region. So a lot in Tennessee, West Virginia. We went and filmed an event for them, and we created a series of videos. And then we went back the next year to film again at the same event. And this time it was happening at the Bristol Motor Speedway, which is a NASCAR racetrack. one of the videos that we created over that year was then played on the screen at the racetrack, which is, when we were talking before, I thought it was the largest screen on the East Coast, like suspended.
Right.
It actually turns out it's the largest suspended screen in the world.
But you know what's amazing is you couldn't ask for a better promotion. Everybody saw this project and it was produced by Small Media Large.
It was pretty crazy.
Okay, so I want to know, as you know, that this podcast is about pressing beyond the obstacles we have, because you are certainly living out your purpose. And we're going to talk about the other things that you're doing. But I want to know how people who are living out their purpose, what obstacles that they have to press beyond?
Yeah, so there was a number of things. I think one of the big things is that when we first started, Dan and I had both been doing freelance work for other media companies, mostly live event production. And I think a temptation, especially with a lot of young entrepreneurs, is to maybe jump a little too quickly into doing something that isn't lucrative enough to support their life. I know that I did this very consciously. I actually continued doing a lot of freelance work for other organizations and other companies, part-time mostly, all the way up until January 1st of 2020. Even though during that whole time, business was growing and I was actually making more with Small Media Large than I was with other work I was doing, it took me a little while to actually jump 100% into the business. And that's something that I think a lot of people who want to start a company don't realize, is that a lot of companies aren't profitable for the first 2 years, sometimes longer than that. You kind of have to swallow your pride and just say, all right, I'm going to do this other thing. And you have to be a little bit patient with it. I mean, you got to go as hard as you can with the work that you're doing and do as excellent as you can. But at the same time, it's probably not going to be like an overnight success. Most good things aren't. I mean, you hear stories about like Tesla early on, they nearly went bankrupt. I mean, they've nearly gone bankrupt many times. When they first started, it was uncertain whether they were going to be able to make the first car. There's plenty of good ideas that just take time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I always believe that every great opportunity comes with obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you have this great agency, but something else you're doing, I think, is very cool. It was in your dream portfolio. You bought your own house. I mean, a lot of people buy houses, you know, so they have a place to live, but you went beyond that. You had ideas about this home. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this.
That actually takes up a fair amount of my time. And it's something that I've always enjoyed. I grew up in a house that was always, the door was kind of a revolving door. People were coming and going and friends were always sleeping over and hanging out. There was a real community around our house growing up. And so for a long time, I kind of wanted that. And I saw it done out in Idaho, where they were doing just that. There was a couple that owned a house and they had residents who would come and live there, and almost a family type environment there. And so I wanted to do that. So I bought a house with as many bedrooms as I could afford at the time in Ambridge, Pennsylvania, which is a great little town. So the house, it's a 5-bedroom house. I turned 1 bedroom into a studio and then rented out 3 rooms. Everybody who's at the house is kind of expected to help with fostering that sense of community. So we host things here. We have discussion groups and game nights, and we'll do all kinds of things. I mean, last night we just had a group of people over just hanging out on the porch. We went and got ice cream and just talked about life, and it was great.
Especially today with everything's on social media, it's just kind of nice to have fellowship and be together in one space. Okay, let's talk about, and I'm going to press on this a little bit because I had something to do with this. And I know it wasn't a production of Small Media Large, but you and your friends got together to produce this wonderful musical, and it's hilarious. Loge City EP.
Yes.
So let's talk about this, because I'm going to tell all you listeners out there, when this vinyl comes out, I want everybody to get a copy. So let's talk about this, Thomas.
Okay. So my friend Elliot and we've known each other for longer than we can remember. We actually don't remember when we met, but we've been friends for a very long time. And we've always, through high school, middle school, elementary school, we were always making things. It was usually video related. We'd have a little VHS camera and make little skits and really, really dumb videos, but we always had a lot of fun doing it. And he actually went to school for writing for film and for television. And he ended up getting a job out in LA. I think he was actually working for America's Funniest Home Videos at one point. He was out there for a while, and then he came back to Pittsburgh for a Christmas break, and we met up, and we were basically with the idea that we were going to try to make something. We didn't know what it was. I think we want to make a musical. That sounds like fun. And so we were like, all right, let's do it. And this was actually before Hamilton came out. We wrote the thing in about 3 days. And then he ended up moving back to Pittsburgh and we started recording it probably in the next year or two. We did a little bit of editing and rewriting and things, but most of it was written in about 3 days. And then we started recording it. We had a number of, we were doing all the voices, the two of us. We realized that we needed to pull in a little bit of actual legit voice talent. And so we reached out to you and also to our friend Will. Will is a good singer. And so neither Elliot or I can really sing or rap, but we do kind of do both on the musical. But Will has a real talent for singing and Linda has a great narrating voice.
Thanks.
And so
I had
such
a good time with that. And you know, it's interesting. You gave me the script, you know, I did the dialogue, but after the finished product is hilarious. I mean, seriously, you need to get this on its feet. It's something people should see. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah. I guess just so that people know kind of what it is, its premise is that it's a musical that takes place in an old folks home. Mm-hmm. And so there's these two old elderly gentlemen who show up at the home and they meet each other and they realize that the only thing they really have in common is a love for hip hop of all things. And so they decide to record a rap EP. And so the whole album or the whole musical is kind of half classic musical style music and half hip hop, but elderly men voices.
Yeah, I'm just curious though, how you and Elliot came up with this idea. I mean, both of you are so young.
I actually know exactly when it happened. We used to, back in high school, the word loge was something that we had come up with that we were just using as like, it was like an insult, but it was also a term of endearment. And so we used that word a lot, loge. It was just L-O-A-D-G-E. And then we started recording music just for fun, just the dumbest songs you can imagine, but not with old person voices, just us. And then one time I sent him a song where I was doing an old person voice for some reason. I don't even know why, but it was making me laugh and I could hardly get through a line without breaking. And then from then on, everything musical we did was with these old elderly man voices. And it was just making each other laugh. We hadn't connected that to the musical even when we had the idea of writing a musical. And then at some point we were like, well, most of the joking music we've done has been with these old voices. Let's just set this in an old folks home.
It's brilliant. It's so funny. I was listening to it. Seriously, it would be something you want to consider getting on stage. All right. Nice. So tell us, what are some of the projects that you have in the works right now? Small, media, large. Okay. Is there anything going on?
Yes. So there's a couple things. Graham, he's in Idaho right now, but he's working on a documentary about a Twitch streamer named Gothics. The documentary is going to focus on the kind of the issue of cancel culture, the importance of hearing people discuss things without necessarily shutting them down just because you disagree with them. So he's working on that documentary. We are hoping that that will be available in the public on some network.
Right.
We're planning to sell it to a network in the late summer. But other than that, I can't really say much about it. I've been cutting together a series of, now this is not small, media, large, but this is something that I'm excited about. I built a guitar last year with a couple friends and I filmed the whole process. And so I've been cutting together basically it's going to be about a 5-part series that shows the process of making a guitar from start to finish.
So you also do woodworking.
I have friends who actually do woodworking and then I can kind of, I've learned a lot from them, but I would not say that I do woodworking. I just know just enough to, yeah.
That's an interesting concept to do a documentary on the making of a guitar.
It was really fun. We had three of us making guitars and they're different styles. They're all electric guitars, but they're all slightly different styles. And so I filmed the whole process and the last one is actually being finished this weekend. So I'm actually going to go out to Ohio to finish. I'm guessing in the next, over the summer sometime when that'll actually come out.
Well, you know, Thomas, you have a wonderful life. I mean, you're living out your purpose. You're doing the things you love to do. I mean, and you took some time to get there, but isn't it so worth it?
It really is. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So anyone who wants to know more about Small Media Large, it's smallmedialarge.org. Well, listen, Thomas, thank you so much. I'm glad you're with us today and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's been an honor to be on here.
It's 6 o'clock and we're feeling right.
Actually, I'm tired.
Come on now. It'll be a delight. We all get down on bingo night. Bingo night.